content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Sean Wells.
Hello and welcome.
We were playing with the didgeridoo before we went live.
If you go to Instagram
at One Life Radio One,
yeah, you'll see Sean being silly with the didgeridoo. I did some silly stuff with it, but not in studio here. I was like fooling around with it the other day. Did that move that you did, but you know.
Do people out there know what a didgeridoo is?
Maybe.
I don't know. You know, I meant to ask Autumn and Brian about the history of my didgeridoo because my wood over there, my instrument.
Oh my Lord.
Your Australian
Can you tell it's Friday?
Instrument.
My wooden instrument over there.
Okay.
I'm super silly today because I haven't had my kids. I'm in
day three.
And I have to tell you, I have done a digital detox and I have been dancing and drinking champagne.
Playing a didgeridoo.
And playing a didgeridoo.
Do you know your didgeridoos and your didgeridon'ts?
I do not. But I've been, you know, watching birds and
nice.
And talking to my tree.
Okay. It's Friday, though.
When the kids are gone.
She's a little silly.
No. There's actually a book. I just bought a book about trees. I absolutely love my trees, and I am a tree hugger. So, and anybody that isn't, you don't know what you're missing.
Have you seen The Lorax? The Dr.
Yes.
Seuss movie?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
My
I watched
gosh.
That recently.
That is such a fantastic film. I ordered this book. My friend told me about it yesterday. Let's see. It's in my Amazon orders, but it's supposed to be one of the best books ever about trees, and it's beautiful. It won a Pulitzer Prize.
Do you know, have you ever seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies?
I have not.
Kinda.
There's so many movies I didn't see.
J.R.R. Tolkien,
yeah.
The author, mm-hmm. was very passionate about nature, and the Lord of the Rings is really about the rise of industrialism, the rise of imperial dictators like Mussolini and you know, like the whole World War One thing, but also the age of industrialism, like factories and
it's
all these things coming online.
It's one of my favorite periods to study. I've read multiple
and
books.
He was very passionate about religion, about poetry, about nature, about the goodness of man, mm-hmm. and it was embattled with this industrialism and World War One and all these things mm-hmm. coming. And that's really what Lord of the Rings was about. But he has like central characters in the movies and in the books.
Yeah.
They're called Ents. They're trees that are like very wise.
Well, and, trees are wise.
Right.
And they've been through a lot. And we can learn a lot from our trees. Yeah. And they're basically saving our lives. So, you know, we should be so respectful, right?
Right.
The name of the book is The Overstory. Richard Powers. It's a novel. It won the Pulitzer Prize. I can't wait to get it. I'm going to read it over the next, I don't know how long it'll take me with all my other reading that I have to do, but it's so good to have you in studio today.
It's good to have you here.
It's just me and Sean and Aviana and Diamond, and we're
just talking.
We're just talking, and which is something we rarely...
Free flowing.
Yeah, we rarely get to do this. We rarely do.
I'm excited.
I am too. I really am, and there is a mental health benefit from disconnecting, you guys.
Just talking and connecting, like... And we love that people are out there listening to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They're our friends.
And they are.
I literally think of like, we have one empty chair at this table where we're at in the studio. And I think about there's a person right here, You know, like you transfer them in your mind, like someone's in their car or whatever in the kitchen listening to this. But I imagine them sitting right there and I'm talking to them.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that people have said for years about One Life Radio, especially in the early years, because it's more so like that. I mean, it's still like that a little bit. But I mean, we do drive to get like some really, you know, heavy duty authors on and scientists and stuff like that as well. But in the early days and even still like today, you know, people would say, I feel like when I tune in, I'm sitting at your dining room table. Your kitchen table with you, Bern, and it sounds like I'm just listening in on a private conversation.
Yeah,
that's the best compliment I could possibly
huge
get.
Huge compliment.
Huge. You know, okay, so where do I want to go with this? Let's talk about the Gillette thing, because you're the one that told me about it. Okay, so Gillette is losing billions after shaming men in an ad campaign. I just watched it this morning. Mm-hmm. So your thoughts as a man, Sean, and for people out there that haven't seen it, where can they go to see it?
It's on YouTube. It's okay. Literally got hundreds of millions of views and probably just as many comments. It's been probably the most viral or polarizing video of years. And Gillette has, like they said, lost billions. It may not all be directly because of this campaign, but that campaign has been a lightning rod. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gillette is competing against Harry's and Dollar Shave Club, which are doing very well.
Very well, yeah.
With a better model, and Gillette was kind of late to the game to do the direct-to-consumer stuff, the subscription model stuff and all that. So Gillette has definitely lost some ground, and that's some of it. But this was an attempt to leapfrog that and get in specifically with millennials. Mm-hmm. They wanted millennial males. And so they came out with this message basically about toxic masculinity and the whole Me Too movement and, you know, what is the best a man can get and trying to change that definition. And in the process, I think it was well intended. Mm-hmm. Certainly we all are learning things right now, like in this movement, the Me Too movement.
Well, it's been difficult for men to navigate,
and because
there's been so many changes, really, in a short, just very a couple short. Of generations. You know, where it used to be, you know, like the Beaver Cleaver, mom was at home, mom cooked, mom didn't go outside the home. Their children had, you know, in some ways, a lot more stability, but then that also drove women crazy to be home all day with their kids. And so this natural movement that's happened, it's important, but all change is difficult. It is, and we should always respect one another, regardless of what sex it is, you know. And I watched the commercial or the ad, the Gillette ad. I don't really have an opinion about it because I'm not a man. And so things are not going to strike a chord in me like they would you because we didn't have the same experience.
Right. Yeah. I guess in the video, it seems inspirational. It seems like a good message. And I think the reason it's getting hammered like it is that it's called toxic masculinity. And the men,
what does that mean to you?
That, like, it's the whole, like, locker room talk, like the, you know, that men,
boys
when they get around.
Boys.
Yeah, boy, they even say that quote.
Like grabbing the crotch, you know.
Yeah, when they get around other men are somehow toxic to each other. And that's a really negative thought. Like, it can be true, but, you know, this is true when women get around women, right? Like, you know, they can be foul-mouthed and gross
and,
you know, whatever.
Even worse sometimes.
Listen exactly.
Oh, goodness, yes. Like, hello.
But it's not, you know, that's a negative way to look at things that, like, what, when men get around other men, we're toxic to each other. Like, it's kind of crazy. And the video really portrays the white male as the scapegoat to all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, men are feeling pretty beat up lately. It's tough. It's tough being a man right now when you feel like the person that's losing power always feels powerless.
Well, you're making me want to sing Stand By Your Man. Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Yeah.
Giving all your love to just one man.
That's true. It's very true.
We're going to take that out. I've lost my mind here this morning. I'm actually relaxed. That's
great.
You know, you don't get to jump off the parent train very often. Once a baby comes out of your body, you're pretty much committed, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's rare that I get a break like this. And so, yeah, it's been fantastic. It's like, wow, I don't have any responsibilities other than, you know, like cleaning house, of course, taking care of the animals, showing up for work and stuff like that. But children are a huge responsibility, as they should be. But it feels good to have a break.
And you know what you're talking about that ties into this, like, Me Too movement and political correctness and what you were saying about how the whole Leave It to Beaver type thing.
Uh-huh.
I get a little frustrated that the political correctness, I think, sometimes is driven by agendas politically and capitalism. And I of course think a woman has every right to take on as much as she wants to take on in the workforce, that she should get paid equally, of course. But I also think there's a lot of shaming of women that are housewives, that are just
for sure
home
and
shaming mothers,
of women, shaming of women that want to go back out and work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had that happen to me, too, after I got divorced. My first divorce, there was a particular woman. I won't say her name. I don't care for her at all. But she said to me, I would love to do the voice. I would love to do the voice because I do a really good voice of her. I do. But she said, Bernadette, you don't have to go back out to work. Why would you do that? Why don't you stay home and take care of the kids? And I wanted to say, why don't you mind your own effing business, is what I wanted to tell her. But that kind of stuff goes on, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, you know, with that kind of stuff. And I think men right now, like, you know, here's the thing, too, like, a man, like, I hear this quite a bit, like, a man wants to pay for the date. A man wants to hold the door. A man wants to, you know, pull out the chair, like, you know,
and
whatever.
And women love that. I love it when a man makes me feel like a woman.
Chivalrous,
oh my gosh.
Right?
Yes.
But now that's
women,
under attack.
Yeah, there's also women who are like, don't open the door. I can do it myself.
Am I old-fashioned for that? Because I can open the door, too.
I feel the same way. Yeah. Like, am I old-fashioned?
I can bring home the bacon, and I can fry it in a pan, too, Sean.
There you go.
And the avocado salt and eggs.
That's right. From real salt.
I always think, like, I grew up with Little House on the Prairie. And,
me too. I love
and
that
I
show.
Loved,
did you cry a lot?
I cried a lot. It was very sad. But like, I love like the dynamic between the husband and wife in the show, that like they held each other up.
Yep.
They were both strong. It was king and queen. And it wasn't like she was some subordinate or something.
Right.
Like, he loved her. He lifted her up. He would sacrifice everything for her. But he was quote unquote head of the household. You know, like, but to me, like, head of the household means like, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
It means I take on more burden,
I'm thinking
more
of the Lion
responsibility.
King.
Right.
I mean, right. He's right. A lion, right?
Right, right. And
she's
so men,
lioness.
Men, like, I feel like it's programmed in their DNA to protect and provide. And now we're like, what do we do? Like, both of those are in jeopardy. We don't even know who we are, how we're supposed to do things anymore. We can't, like, do chivalrous things and have manners anymore. Like, that's taken wrong. So, like, all this stuff, it's just, operating in a very confusing world right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's very sad for all the women out there listening, you know, to think that being a gentleman is not important. That includes opening the door. It's a respect thing, not a I own you thing.
Right.
You know, it's a I respect you. And you should never shame a man for doing something like that. I just think, oh, there we go. There's the song.
Mm-hmm.
This is an old country song.
Beautiful song.
I want to hear it.
You have never heard this?
Okay. No.
We can. Okay. We'll listen.
Just a little bit.
But if you love him, you'll forgive him.
Is it Tammy Wynette? Is
I think
right?
So. Yeah. I used to make fun of this song, obviously. But it's sweet. It's very sweet too, because a man does go through a lot of stuff, and so do women, and we need to love and respect one another.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're in this world together.
Be proud of him. Be proud of him. After all, he's just a man. I love it.
Nice.
Okay, I can't go that high. I gotta go. We'll be right back. We're going to break. You're listening to One Life Radio. And something warm to come to when nights are cold. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. That's the perfect song for you. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. Well, you love CCR, you know.
Yeah.
So I almost danced to them last night. I can't even remember what I was dancing to. I was all over the place, but I drank almost a whole bottle of French champagne. It was so awesome.
Ooh la la.
This, can't even tell you how
this
awesome
song
it was.
Was in Forrest Gump, which has so many iconic songs. Like, just now, like, whenever I hear the songs that were in Forrest Gump, uh-huh, I just picture the scenes. Like, they were in the helicopter, uh-huh, in this scene.
Yeah.
There's just so many.
That's such a great film.
Incredible.
Incredible film.
Incredible how
one
much
of the
it
best
covers.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. But you're listening to One Life Radio. Everyone, this is Bernadette with Sean Wells, Diamond Gray, and Aviana Barrientos. We are just sitting around talking today.
I kind of want to know.
Because
how
I was supposed to go out of town.
Oh, no.
And then I never went. I was supposed to be off today, and I was supposed to be off on Monday. And I had plans to go to Austin, uh-huh, hotel reservations, canceled them, and just decided to stay home and do a lot of nothing.
There you go.
Except tree hugging. Yeah. Talking to my magnolia trees.
That's better than a vacation.
I'm talking,
yeah,
to me.
You know? No, I'm talking,
talking
to you.
To me.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm curious to know. You gave your thoughts as a woman, but like, what about like a millennial woman?
Yeah.
Like you're
about,
like kind of like in this mix big time, mm-hmm, of like, you know, how do you view men? Because like it's all getting redefined for you. Like Bernadette has a traditional view. I have maybe a more traditional view. But it's all getting redefined in your generation. So, like, how do you, like, what do you expect from a man? Like, what do you think of this news? Like,
I think that there's still, like, a really hard split between, like, mm-hmm, the extreme ideas of, like, older generations with, mm-hmm, millennials.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of very conscious millennials who kind of give hope.
That are moving the needle.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, there's, millennial often gets like a bad rap. But
it does.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But
it really
does.
But
there's so many millennials that are like dreamers and thinkers and,
yeah,
moving
creators,
the needle and creators.
And
exactly. And they
and
don't.
Not so money motivated.
Right. Yeah.
Which
exactly.
Which is a good thing.
A huge thing.
One of the reasons we have so many problems in our world is because of the greed that exists.
Right. And you're getting a lot of companies that are started by millennials that are not greedy. That have very different agendas. But
I think it's like with, I mean, the environment being one example, like if we don't do something,
yeah,
we're not going, mm-hmm, to have a planet to live on, you know?
Oh,
if,
yeah,
we don't do something now to make a change, you know, what's
going to
come?
And a lot of millennials are
come?
Pissed, aren't they? Like they really are. I mean, my daughter that's 14, mm-hmm, and both of my daughters, 22 and 14, are just like so upset about it, as they should be, you know, as they should be.
Well,
this
it's
is
kind of like, it's not like, it's like this mess was kind of created,
well, you know,
and okay, then dumped.
Well, you know what's, yeah, funny? So agreed. Nia, Antonia, my youngest one, we were at the store. What is the name? Oh, Serena and Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting like some bar stools for my guest house. And anyway, she was looking at the baby cribs. And so one of the women there made a comment about the top 1%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what the conversation was. She overheard two other women speaking, you know, at the counter where they, you know, decide how much cloth they're going to order and all kinds of things. Anyway, and so we got outside and my youngest Antonia, she was so upset. She was so mad about that comment. And she said, I look at the baby cribs in there and I can't dream about having children because if I do, they'll be dead. I'll leave them when they're babies based on the current data that we have about the earth is going to be, we aren't even going to be here in 11 years.
Exactly.
I can't dream about baby cribs and having a family and having children. And I was like,
well, it's like, who would want to bring a child,
right,
into this world
and
right now?
I'm thinking to myself, holy smokes. I never thought about it like that. And no wonder these kids have so much damn anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Can you imagine if when we were kids, Sean, to think that we have no future?
Right.
You might as well. I mean, it's like they lose all hope.
Well, like the people who are putting these statistics out, like they're all older people who don't care because they're gonna die soon and won't have to see all of the damage that's being done.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's very scary for millennials. Like,
speaking of which, I just read with climate change actually in the journal Nature, which we love, which is really the gold standard of all academic research.
Yeah.
Is this journal Nature.
Yeah.
And it was published in there that it's now past 99% probability that climate change is real, is happening.
What?
And they said that by the end of the year, they'll have additional data that should put it like to 99.9%, basically.
Wow.
So, and this isn't like some crappy journal of like, the statistics real. This is literally the gold standard of science.
Yep.
And
although I have
global
to say,
scientists
it is, but I
chiming
have,
in.
I have to say, they did an article in the most recent issue about vaccines, and I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. And so that is a huge, that's probably the most controversial subject, that and climate change, that you could possibly talk about. But I will say this. So I got it in the mail actually last night, and it talks about depression researchers rethink mouse swim test. Now, Sean, I've never seen a picture of a mouse swim test.
This is literally what I was talking about with Jacob. And he said, like, typically they don't do that. They do this a
this
lot.
This is terrible, world, people, everyone out there listening.
The weight on the tail.
Oh, my God. And look at the look on his eyes. He looks so deviant. The scientist that's sitting there watching. I'll put it on our social media.
Jacob said typically they don't drown. They do drown.
They wait for him to drown. In fact, it says scientists gauge a mouse's mental health by measuring the time it takes to stop swimming. In other words, until they drown.
Right.
And this picture is so disturbing.
They put a weight on their tail, and it's basically like a way to test resistance to fatigue or training to failure.
I want to put a weight on this guy's tail and put him in a tank of water. Like, seriously, that is so horrible.
I agree. And you know what? I don't really think it's that applicable of data. Like, nobody like that's training is like in fear for death.
Right.
Like when I'm in the gym, I'm not like,
might
you know,
die
can,
on this
can
ladder.
Can you,
bet,
can
you know?
Think about like how much that would change?
I mean, sometimes
I feel
like I'm dying, but you know, you never
do you know how much more I could lift or how much further I could go if I was literally in
lifting
panic for
death.
My life?
And nobody's going to protect these mice. Who's going to stand up for them? PETA, Mercy for Animals, you know, they do. And Ingrid Newkirk and Nathan Runkel have made tremendous change in awareness of the animals that suffer all over the planet. But I got to tell you, like, I want Ingrid or one of them to come on and specifically talk about this subject and how we can put an end to it. And that goes for the mouse traps, too, like for pest control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I've told the story
the
on the air
traps
before. Marie, tune out if you're tuning in, because Marie was so mentally disturbed after I painted a very vivid picture of what it was like for me to go into my garage one day and find a mouse on a mouse trap, and I tried to cut it off while it screamed bloody murder, and I had to drown it live to put it out of its misery because it was trembling so hard it started convulsing from the stress of me trying to get it free from the mouse trap. That is so, oh my God, I want to swear so bad like that. I just want to like F-bomb like crazy how screwed up that is to do that to any animal. And yet we have these pest companies that toss them into people's garages like Neanderthal idiots that don't even think about the fact that an animal is going to suffer a horrific death. It gets
there's
me
other
upset.
Ways to get them out.
Yeah, there's other ways to get rid of. Get a cat. There you go. Save a cat and put the cat, you know, and I'll tell you what, I don't have any mice in my house. Of course, I've got a lot of cats, but seriously, but you want to get rid of mice? Get a cat or do something that's not so awful. Mm-hmm. But this research the mouse swim test, it's got to be done away with.
That's horrible.
I agree. Yeah. I've always hated that test.
Yeah, I get all fired
up. And
things have
changed, I think, as more people have become aware. Like, you're seeing a lot less of like the rabbits where they're, you know, putting the chemicals in their eyes and all that stuff. And like, there's a lot of companies that refuse to do that kind of testing.
Yep.
And I think things have changed, and you know, rodents are mammals that are very loving and playful and have a lot of our same emotions.
If
you watch, like, you know, rats or mice, like, you know, they love they play.
They
and
play.
They're literally they kind
we?
Of laugh and they'll like love with each other and like, you know, nestle up on each other, and there's a lot of like real emotion going on.
Mm-hmm.
There that I mean, it's sad.
It is really sad. And I don't know why, I don't understand why man thinks that his life is more precious than any other living thing on this earth. We all are on here together, you know, and we need to respect one another. And that's just cruel. It's plain cruel. There's enough cruelty in the world without scientists. I'm going to put the picture on social media because his eyes look so creepy, like he's waiting for this mouse to die. Oh, what? So he can measure the mental health? Go to hell. How about that? You know, that's what I want to say to him. And we're going to get more genuine here as the show moves along. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. So good to be confident. It is so damn convenient with this fancy tequila. It's sucking somebody's cigarette. Oh my God, I love this. This is so fun. Have you heard this one?
No, actually, I haven't. I like it, though.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Listen.
Nice.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh, I want to dance so bad.
Let's go dancing tonight.
You know what? I'm telling you, I feel like a new woman getting such a break. You know, it's day three without my kids and just staying home doing nothing but listening to music and drinking champagne if I care to. And you know what's so funny? I remember I was telling actually Logan this morning. She's this great friend of mine that she does hair, like really, she's one of the best in the whole country. She really mm-hmm. is. But anyway, I was telling her that, you know, I always lose weight when my kids go out of town too, because I'm not as nerved out, you know, managing children and their schedules and, you know, prepping meals and all this stuff. And so last night for dinner, I had like, I went to Brewed Impressed and I got a couple of like liquid drinks.
Those are so good.
They have a milk one and then a coconut one. Mm-hmm. And then this little thing of hemp and cashew vegan cheese and some homemade like tomato crackers. And that's all made with almond flour. They're very keto friendly, very paleo mm-hmm. friendly as well. But they were vegan too. So it's kind of like a, you know, it was the best of both worlds. And I sat there with a bottle of champagne with my friend Liz came over and then she left and I danced. But it was just so great to not have to do anything, you know. Everybody
that is nice.
Needs that. Everybody yeah. needs that. I rarely, rarely get it. I mean, I haven't had a break like this in like 4 years. Think about
wow.
that. Like 4 years. So
live it up.
I'm living it up.
It's good for your mental health.
Yeah. I've got tickets to that 29 rooms.
Oh, the escape rooms.
The escape rooms.
Oh, I love escape
okay,
rooms.
Okay.
I've done
fun.
Like three
Listen,
or four.
They are so fun.
I only have three tickets. Two people have to go with me. Maybe you and Shelly can go.
Okay.
But y'all should do
it's
it.
On next Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of scared.
Is it like a themed one? Do you know?
It's called 29 Rooms, and I'm claustrophobic, so I'm like, why did I do this?
Oh, I love them. I think they're so
do
cool.
Do they freak
they're
you
fun.
Out, though?
No. You're not like in like threatened, like
no.
in peril. Like you can yeah. leave it at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, I'm thinking, and that's kind of important. So, you know, we opened the show talking about, you know, the Gillette commercial and
yeah.
all this stuff about, you know, men. And I was just thinking, you know, I like male energy.
Right.
I think
yeah.
all women do. When there's too many women in a room and not any male energy, it gets janky. It gets sideways. It just, you know.
It can.
It really can. And so I would, if I was going to go into a room, like a place like that, I would want some male energy there.
Well, and vice versa, like the whole idea, like in China with like the yin and the yang, like the, you know, that like black and white logo, right? That looks like kind
uh-huh.
of like a, like two fish put together with like a
the little circle,
the little circle in each. That's all about that. Like the little circle. Like the white, I forget which one's which. Let's say the white is feminine and the dark is masculine. But you need like the little bit of one and the other for them to be correct.
Yes,
right?
It's a balance.
And then there's like they're interacting well with each other too. And they talk about like, you know, certain drinks or certain foods are like, you know, yin and certain foods are yang and, you know, whatever. And like you need the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they view things. So like to them, like they don't view like masculine, feminine as like a negative either way. It's like you need the two.
Do you think that men are getting to the point where they're afraid to be masculine?
I definitely think that. And,
really?
And if you look at, like, I love nature. I always look at nature, like, to why we do the things we do or, like, why we've evolved certain ways or why we have the behaviors we have. And if you look, like, through most of nature, like, men are, the males are protectors and providers.
Mm-hmm.
And women
Absolutely.
Are really good nurturers. And certainly you don't like cross like a mother like and her cub, right?
Yeah.
And you can get the wrong side of that.
You'll get killed.
But, you know, like men are stronger and men are defenders and provider. I mean, it's just it's
it
not like
it
an uneven thing. It's just it's a thing. It's not a bad thing.
We didn't invent it, you know.
And women are sexy.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And men aren't as sexy. It's just like, this is a thing. It's like, I don't know why it's a bad thing.
It's
like, can't we be
law.
Different?
And there's
but
nothing
equal?
Wrong with being sexy. There's nothing wrong with being feminine. And sometimes being strong can be very sexy too. But again, there's a balance.
Right.
There's a balance.
Right. So. Everything's just kind of feels like it's in disarray right now. But you were saying something very interesting.
Yeah, Avi, let's hear it.
Ooh, I found this article that said 22% of millennials say they have no friends. And
that's a lot. Yeah,
that's a
one
lot.
In four essentially.
Wow. That's actually quite disturbing.
Yeah. So 27% said they had no close friends. 30% said they had no best friends. And 25% said that they had no acquaintances.
That would qualify as an epidemic.
Right.
That's,
so this is
serious.
Really sad. Because I just think of like, you think of elderly people and how a lot of times they're often really lonely. And it's just kind of what's going to happen to these lonely millennials down the line.
Right.
When we're already this lonely.
Right. And you're surrounded by people on social media.
Everywhere.
But no one is really interacting well, like on a real level.
Right.
You're DMing each other, you're commenting, but everything's filtered and the pictures are filtered and you're projecting out this great reality.
But then you come face to face and you can't have
and
a
you
conversation.
You can't even talk to them.
Yeah.
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 It's hard.
And it's weird. Yeah. It's, you know, when I used to go like dancing a lot, like in the clubs and whatever.
Did
like,
you used to dance a lot in the club
back in the day?
A ton.
Really?
A ton. Like five
What's your
all-time
favorite dance song? If you can even remember.
Britney Spears.
All-time.
Just kidding.
He does like Britney
I don't know.
Spears.
Return of the Mac. I like that song.
Okay.
Anyway, it's about a guy that kind of gets his heart broken, but he gets back out there and he's like, Return
he
of the Mac.
He gets back on the horse.
Anyway.
Back in the day when you were dancing, was it easier to
So no, like I was just thinking like sometimes there'd be moments when I was in the club and I was surrounded by like hundreds of people. And those are the moments that I felt like the most alone. Like when I wasn't like really in a good mood and, you know, I was just down and I went out anyway. And sometimes like, you know, the music picks you up or you meet someone and it turns out to be a great night. But then there's other nights where it kind of goes off the rails and like you just feel lonely and depressed and it gets more intense. The more people you're around.
Mm-hmm. So fast forward to now and with social media, people are popping bottles and all they're doing is recording behind their phone to post on social media to show all of the people that they're not there with.
Mm.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's intense.
That is intense.
And literally like the word filtered is like so true now. It's not even just like figuratively filtered. Mm-hmm. Things are literally filtered with filters.
Like, I mean, now it's like you have to figure out how to put a filter on your words.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
What
because
do you mean by that?
In real life, I mean, it's hard. You never want to offend someone, and just now with, I mean, people not being able to have social interaction or being anxious about it, you know, you got to be careful with what you say.
Absolutely.
Well, think about this, Bernadette. You know how many like probably racist, sexist, horrible things I've probably said in my life at some point, especially when I was younger.
Oh
and
yeah.
You just again, you're around certain guys, and like you're trying to prove yourself. I've said horrible, horrible things that aren't really me.
Mm-hmm.
But like now with millennials, you say anything and it's permanent.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like it can come back to bite you really bad. On YouTube, on Instagram
Twitter,
stories, on
that's
Twitter,
a big
on
thing.
You know, whatever. Like, all this stuff can come back to bite you. And I've, all the things I've said,
you're not the same person you were 25 years ago. Yeah. But, you know, according to Twitter, you're the same person who you were when you tweeted 5 years ago. You know?
Exactly. That I hate that. I like that happened to that guy, James Gunn, who was the director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like
yeah,
we can't
stuff
evolve?
That you said years ago, like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, then they do that with politicians, too. Like, when you were 20, like 30 years ago, you said such and such. It's like, well, doesn't that show I'm mature and I've changed? Like, isn't that a good thing?
Well, it makes me think of the song Dirty Laundry.
Exactly.
You know, oh my gosh. But we've got lots more coming up to talk about. We do. It's just a casual day here on One Life Radio. It's myself, Sean Wells, Diamond Gray, and Aviana Barrientos just having a conversation. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Oh, I love this song. Just let it roll so you can get a good taste of it. You made him very happy, Diamond. I got a feeling Sean might be going dancing. Sean, do you have a Sonos system in your house?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you rock the house?
I do.
When you, especially when you're alone?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's the best feeling in the world. The Sonos is like an incredible investment. And they're not that much anymore, really. You can get even just one speaker and a subwoofer and hook it up to your phone or, you know,
we need to make them a sponsor of the show.
Yeah, Spotify and all these. What are some of the other ones?
You can use all the streaming
Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, whatever.
Yeah. And so, but anyway.
You just made my day, Diamond. That was
I love that.
Awesome.
Made his day.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah, it was. Music is so important to
so much.
You and I, especially. Yeah. I know Aviana and Diamond, we're all big music lovers. I think most people are really at the end
I
of the day.
I don't trust people that aren't.
Yeah, me
How
neither.
So I met a guy
it's like
once.
Not liking a dog. Like, who doesn't like
so
dogs?
So I met a guy once that told me he doesn't like pets and he doesn't like music. And I'm like,
Okay, get away.
Oh, wait, I met a girl.
You're a psychopath.
I know, same thing. I met a girl who said she doesn't like music and she doesn't like pizza. I was like, all right, we can't be friends.
Okay, that's another one. If you don't like, she doesn't like pizza?
I know.
What is
or
wrong
music.
With her? Oh,
that
my
is
God.
Weird.
Yeah, she's psycho. Well, if you're just now joining us, we're having a silly fest here today at One Life Radio. We're just sitting around the table having a conversation. Sean Wells, I didn't even give your bio. Should I give your bio? Or
no,
would you
it's
wanna,
whatever.
We'll just whatever.
We're just talking.
But he is an incredibly intelligent man. He is a registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist. He's a scientist fellow as well in the International Society of Sports Nutritionists and has his master's of public health in nutritional. Wait, I'm reading this wrong. You have your master's of public health and you are a nutritional biochemist as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's smart.
Yeah. You're super smart.
But it's about just us talking today.
It is. It is.
And I want to know, like, if anyone can email or social media and, like, let us know what you think of this.
Yeah. Call
I think
us or email us.
It's, I think it's just fun to do sometimes to just talk about stuff.
Well, this is how it was in the beginning, you know? And then, you know, you got to pay the bills so it gets more, you know, content driven instead of it just being fun to listen to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and again, there's a balance. There's totally a balance.
Sure.
You know,
exactly.
I don't want to get too wild today, you know, on the air. I could, but, you know, I got to keep it pro, at least
a
little bit, right?
Right, no.
And
I think we're teaching and learning and discussing and
connecting.
You know, the way we, like, I'm moving my thought forward by listening to you and your opinions. It's really helping shape my beliefs. Like, yeah. And we can't do that unless that's the whole thing about being like a small town person. Like, you don't get exposed to, and not that it's negative to come from a small town. There's like great values that can come from that, but you don't get exposed to as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can have broader opinions, like when you get exposed to more things.
Absolutely.
When you go to more concerts, when you talk to more races and genders and ages. And,
yeah.
I grew up in a small town. Mm-hmm. As soon as you said small town, I was thinking of the song. I grew up in a small town. I've always got songs in my head. Are you that way?
Yeah.
Like when someone will just be talking and they'll use a certain phrase and it just like pops a song in your head.
I do that.
All the time, but I was born in a small town, and I left home right after I graduated from high school. At 17, I graduated because I started early, and I lived on the West Coast, and I lived in Europe, but when I came back from Europe, I truly had changed. You know, it was like a three-year span. I lived on the West Coast for about a year and a half, and then in Europe for about a year and a half, and I truly had changed, and I knew at that time, I'm never going back to the small town. I've seen too much now, and I want to live my fullest life.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved to Dallas,
nice.
You know, and so where were you born, Sean?
Well, my dad was in the Navy, so I was born in a small town in Pennsylvania, but like we were moving like every 6 months or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. And so. I know Avi's story. She was born in Dallas.
From Dallas.
And Diamond, where were you born?
Dallas. I was born in Lancaster, California, near Edwards Air Force Base where the Challenger went through.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Very cool.
That's cool.
My grandpa was, in the Air Force, so it's a little town.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and you go back there and visit. Your mom still lives nearby there, doesn't she?
Yeah, she lives in Valencia now, which is about 30 minutes away from Lancaster.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, you know, we wanted to talk with you, Diamond, about this Disney thing. I know you have an opinion. Avi pulled up a story that she thought, she said, Diamond's going to have an opinion about this. So let's hear it, Avi.
Yeah, so this mom posted on Facebook that childless millennials should not be allowed at Disney parks. Diamond.
But let's talk about, Diamond has a show, Diamond Hearts Theme Parks. It's on Talk Radio 1190 on Sundays. Is it at 10?
Yeah, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. on Sundays. And so let's talk about this. What's your opinion about that?
I'll just speak for myself. You know, I'm someone that loves theme things. I go all out for the holidays.
Yeah.
I love game nights, and I'm a producer. I like things that are well produced. So theme parks, what it means for me isn't what it would mean for anyone else. So no one's going to tell me or dictate where I can get my joy from.
Right.
Because going to theme parks and all of the stuff that they put, I love the way they're built and, you know, the sound effects and lighting effects. It's like walking through a play for me. So, yeah, I'm not going to let anyone tell me I can't enjoy a theme park.
Who did
it's
she
not
think
just
she
for
is?
Kids. And to further that, Walt Disney created the Disney parks because he wanted families to go and enjoy it. He said he watched a little boy on a merry-go-round, you know, the little ones outside the stores.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what if I could create a place where adults can enjoy things and see things through a little boy's eyes?
Wow.
So, you know,
what if you're childless, not by your own choice? Like,
yeah,
what if
exactly.
you haven't found the right mate, or what if you can't bear
children?
Yeah.
Or
I can't
like
go to
you're
the
supposed
parks
to get
now.
Punished?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
People are stupid.
I kind of get like where she took like a kernel of something. It's kind of like I was saying on the break, like the kids that are too old to be trick or treating, and it's like, oh, they're ruining it. And
right.
I think that's what she's kind of coming from.
She
like,
was mad because
she's
had
mad
because
it's
line.
A long line.
Yeah,
right.
I'm still traumatized by being forced to not play with my Barbie dolls anymore. I'm serious.
Yeah, that's horrible. And for like the 13-year-old kids who are just trying to go out and trick or treat and get some candy, let them get the candy. Like that's a way better thing that they could be doing.
Yeah, I mean, we all get one body, one mind, one life. You know,
that's
what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And Disney is supposed to be for everyone.
Yeah, like, there's college programs for Disney, you know.
And it's weird. So like, what if you go through this phase like where. Okay, 0 to 18, you're a child and you can enjoy Disney World. Then there's like this period of 10 years where you're not allowed to enjoy Disney World because you're not married and you don't have a child. But then at some point you get married and you have a child. Now you're allowed to come back and enjoy it again? Or are you supposed to be punished and hate it, but your children can enjoy it.
Like, we judge way too much in this society, you know, and, you know, but I guess, you know, that everybody's entitled to their opinion, to express their thoughts, and we just respectfully listen and disagree if you like and continue on trying to just live this thing called life and be peaceful, right?
Right. Well, exactly.
And there's a lot of people now that I think it's very, the words bombastic or hyperbolic, like hyperbole just means like, I want to be heard. You know, I'm going to make extreme statements like, this food sucks or this food's the best. Everything's like extreme, like one or the other. It's not like, you know what, this food's decent.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, yeah.
No one says that.
It's okay.
Like, everything is like, it's a one or it's a five. It's like, you know, whatever. It's the most extreme everything because people want to be heard so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people need to be put in check with their, you know, there's a saying like your mouth is writing checks that your ass can't cash,
yep,
right?
That's right.
And some people are just saying a lot of stuff to be heard, and mm-hmm. it's not really, they're not being held accountable for it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like people in the media like used to be held accountable,
mm-hmm.
but now like everyone's in the media.
Yeah.
And you're not held accountable for bad writing or bad opinions or whatever.
Absolutely. And if you are in media, you need to be impeccable with your word on certain things. You really do.
It's your job.
It's your job. Yeah. Some people, I hope.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, do the right thing. Always be cool. You know, shame, blame, it's all low energy and you should all lift each other up, which makes me want to get out my didgeridoo. And I'm going to play it and then I'm going to give it to you, Sean, to play because we got like 30 seconds.
Didgeridoo.
You guys have to see this. I'm going to take a video, so find it on One Life Radio 1.
Oh, my God.
She's trying to get it to the microphone right now. It's this giant, like, 5-foot tusk
there
looking
we go.
Thing. That was.
Hold on.
That's the didgeridoo.
All right, Sean, you want to try?
Wow. Okay.
Sean, it's your turn. There it is.
Is that the end of the show? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, the music's playing, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show and all of our silly shenanigans here today. You know what? It's good to be a fool sometimes.
Yes.
Just be a silly fool. Actually, we weren't foolish, but we were silly. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. And you're not getting this day back, by the way, so get out there and enjoy it.